All right. You want to sit here with me? Here. You sit with me. Come here.
I'm going to sit here and do
that. No. Come here. Smell that. All right. Man, I remember, like, doing these interviews back a few years ago, and, like, you were just easy.
Hey, Matt, it's been a lot of talk since the last race about the respect from the younger drivers. It's kind of the, sorry about it, elder statesman. How do you feel about a lot of the contact and lack of respect on the track?
I mean, at the end of the day, I always say race people how you want to be raced and take note on the ones that race you and race the people around you and how they race you. So I have a motto of being able to fix some of that. I feel that what would fix some of that, but all in all, just race people how you want to be raced.
Honestly, from your perspective, do you think that there's really any more disrespect now than there ever has been when people come along?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's a difference of back in the day when we used to race with Hornaday and Skinner and Benson. I remember, like, that was the gentleman of all the racers. But you knew when you had Hornaday behind you, he was going to put a bumper to you. He was going to put a fender on you. He was going to put a donut on the side of you. But he wasn't just going to, just when he gets there, just drive through you. And there's something with finesse when you are moving somebody. You catch somebody and they're holding you up, and you do bump them up, okay, I'm faster than you, whatever, and then you do move them, you move on by. That's racing. But when you get to them and just absolutely just, hey, I'm going to drive through them, just like we're bumper cart go-kart racing, that's lack of respect. Try to pass me if you're that much faster than me. And that's what aggravates me. And just seeing the lack of respect for the equipment when you're hooking people in the right rear quarter panels and just going and just hooking people in left rear quarter panels and just wrecking each other. That's just, in my world, that isn't racing. Yeah, I mean, anybody can do that. I mean, I got mooed a few years back at Martinsville on a late race restart by a Cup superstar. I was leading the race. He was running second. Went through one and two. He got behind me going to three and just sent me. Never tried to race me. Just absolutely drove through me. And he was supposed to be a Cup superstar.
Thank you. So Matt, you're so far in the whole playoff era, you're the one guy that's broken the format so far, winning a title without a race win. So you could do it again this weekend. What would you think that say if you were able to do it twice?
I mean, at the end of the day, I'm going to sleep fine at night, and that trophy's going to sit fine in my house, and that check's going to clear the same way as it would if I won five races during the season. So at the end of the day, I care less what people think, what they say, what the keyboard warriors say. I laugh at it more than anything. My fiance, when I met her, she used to read the keyboard warriors and she used to let it bother her, and I laugh at it. But and just listening to him at the end of the day, I always say, I mean, this guy's probably living in his mom's basement right now and just typing out something and just trying to be crude. And so at the end of the day, I'll sleep just fine.
So the winless season, that on like the same tier as the other two for you?
The first one was the biggest one for me. And that was honestly, that I still to this day, was the most important one. Just to be honest, she was born in 2013, in April 26, 2013. And I always said that the goal for that year and that would be to be able to set her on top of that championship trophy. And to be able to do that year, it was beyond sweet. You couldn't have scripted any better, and we did it. So that's what was so sweet about 2013. And you got 2014 that it did something that I had no idea that had never been done in the truck series. Didn't ever have had a back-to-back champion, and I was told that right after the race. So that one was sweet in its own way, but there's none of them is going to compare to 2013.
How have you enjoyed Phoenix as a host city for championship weekend?
It's great weather and great racetrack. And hopefully it's a really racy racetrack like we've had in the previous years. going at Homestead. So, I mean, that I love that place. I love Phoenix. I've won race here in late models, and I've won a championship in 2000 in late model here. So hopefully we can go do something and lock it up here again at Phoenix.
Matt, sorry, one of your first questions you were asked, but, I mean, do you really believe it's getting rough? Too rough in the truck series, lack of respect in the truck series.
I wouldn't say too rough. I mean, there's big difference of too rough and respect and respecting the equipment. That's one thing. I mean, by respecting you, just going wrecking you. But at the end of the day, these team owners, these guys that work on these trucks, they spend a lot of man hours, and these team owners spend a lot of money to have some of these people that just have no respect, just destroying equipment. And I feel that some of that comes down to have never been told that you've ever done anything wrong in a race car, or you've ever done anything wrong in life. And I try to really, really instill that into my daughter sitting here with me. I mean, she's racing, and I mean, every week, and I've told her that when she does something wrong, when that she does something right. And I think that goes a long ways. And she doesn't always like to hear it at that time, and she will come back later and we talk about it. But I think that's what's wrong with some of the truck series right now.
As a veteran, as a champion, other than whatever you said in the immediate post race, do you ever talk to these guys? Do you ever try and like?
I'm not now. I'm not. Yeah, I'm not gonna. I've never been the guys. I'm not gonna go talk to you and seek you out to tell you did wrong. If you want to talk to me, I'm always here. When I've done the rookie meetings, I'm always here. If you have a question middle of practice, you come to my window net, and if I could talk to you, I'll talk to you and help you at any point. If you call me during the week leading up to a race, I'll talk to you after race. But I'm not going to be out here and be their dad and tell them what they've done right and wrong. So I know that whenever I was a kid growing up and racing, and when I made a mistake, my dad for damn sure told me when I did wrong.
Do you feel this will spill on the Sunday, or do you think cooler heads?
I honestly think that it won't spill over onto Friday night, Saturday, or Sunday, just because you've got to the Final Four, and it's the box that we're put in, and with the playoff system, the chase races at Bristol, the chase race at Martinsville, I mean the cutoff race, I should say, and you have to do whatever you have to do to keep your season alive, and that is your meal ticket to be able to race for a championship. So you got to do what you got to do, and once you get here, I think you're going to see a little bit more respect out of the all four drivers.
And that is
the Elodie.
How old are you?
Eight.
Why aren't you smiling? You're so serious.
And you race too?
Yep. Do you race?
Does he give you a hard time if you don't show respect to other drivers?
Some of the things that when she qualified, I mean, it was a couple of races ago, she qualified, and she qualified bad. And she got out of the car, and how did she qualify? I told her, not good. I mean, that was not a good qualifying effort. You did this wrong, you did this. And I try to be nice about it, try to tell her what she's done right and wrong. And sometimes as a race car driver, you don't want to be told what you've done wrong. And she was mad at me. And then about 10 minutes later, she came to me and said, Dad, what do I need to do? Can you show me again where I need to be on the racetrack? And we moved on from it. But at the end of the day, did you learn a lot that day?
Yeah.
Yep. And did you go, you drove through the field and was passing for a second right at the end of the race, right?
Yes.
Go kart.
Yep, the outlaw karts at Millbridge.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
In NASCAR, you're at the Wild West Shootout back in January. Is there anything specifically that you like to do when you come to Phoenix? Or Ben was saying that all the door sport guys have a favorite steak place too, or something.
I don't know. I've never been invited. I actually go to me and my crew guys. We usually go to some Mexican food spots. I'm from the West Coast, and there's no better place to go eat Mexican food is Phoenix or California, just because that's where I'm from. And I know that some of the places around here are really, really good place. You can go back east and go find good steak place. I mean, they're all over the place. So you come out here and eat some good, authentic Mexican food.
I don't know if you were asked about this post-race after Martinsville or if you even saw any of this, but I never really got a clear answer on why Junior was so mad with for Bruce after that? Like, did you and Stuart get together?
No. There was nothing at all between Stuart and I. It was Junior is and I are really good friends with Chris Lawson, the crew chief for Todd Gillen. Chris Lawson was going down there to show his displeasure with Stuart Friesen, and Junior and Lawson are good friends. So he's like, I'm not letting my friend go down there to get in a fight possibly and be the only one. So he went down there kind of to mediate it. And at that point, Tripp shoved Junior and said something that shouldn't have been said to Junior, and then Junior lost it. So at the end of the day, when you shouldn't go to people's pits and this and that, when you do, or if you do, you could get punched. At the end of the day, Junior didn't go down there to cause a fight. He was going down there to try to break it up if it did. And and he got shoved, and Junior's got a short temper.
Have you given yourself the opportunity to think about what it would be like to win a third championship?
Fourth, sorry.
Just
helping you out. No, honestly, I haven't really thought about it.
Ty Skinner, right? Man,
how long have you been doing this? Yeah, all right.
I'm sleep deprived, I admit.
It's all right. I think I would tie Hornaday, and I haven't thought about it. The only time I've ever thought about it is whenever the media people have brought it up and wanted to talk to me about it. But I'm a firm believer, and Hornaday's the man of the truck series. He's always going to be the man of the truck series. If I went out tomorrow night and made it number four, he's still Ron Hornaday. He's the man of the truck series. If I went out one number five the following year, Ron Horn is still going to be the man of truck series. I learned a lot from Ron and respect the heck out of Ron. So, I mean, he's taught me a lot on track, off track. I've watched him race against my dad, and he is simply a badass.
He used to be like the cop of the truck series. You know, he would teach all the guys coming in stuff. Do you find it feel like you inherited that role?
Yeah, somewhat. But, I mean, I get talked to some, but it's just a different day and age of racers that are coming up. And a lot of them don't ask questions because they already know more than you. It's plain and simple.
And, you go to a lot of the rookie meetings, don't you?
Yeah, like when you're the past champion, you have to do the rookie meetings the whole following year. And I, goodness gracious, I won it, whatever, 13, 14. So I did it those 2 years back to back. And then 15. Eric Jones? I think, was it that he won it? Oh, what does he do? He moves on. Oh, what do? I finish like second points. Oh, great. What I could do? I got to inherit the rookie deal again. So I've done it for quite a few years. And so in 2020, I had all the rookie meetings there. So you'll get them. It's, like I said, I've been doing it a long time. And it's interesting to see how they used to ask a lot of questions and want to know. And now you do a rookie meet, and you have any questions, you want to know anything, or I've been here a few times, and absolute crickets. I'm like, all right, we'll expect you guys to be perfect tonight.
So, do we need to practice in qualifying in the truck series?
No, absolutely not. that's me being greedy. I mean, I'll do it for another 10, 15 years if you do that, because these one-day shows are amazing. Fly in that morning and race and be on that night and spend a lot more time at home with your family, get to go racing with her more. That part of it's great. But at the end of the day, we need to have a short practice, have 30 minutes, 40 minutes, and a small just qualifying, just still – one-day shows, because you need to have it a one-day show to be able to qualify to let the new guys come in. Because, I mean, if you're going to start a truck series team and you don't have points or you don't have a good finish from last race, you're not going to get to do it. I mean, if you got $2 million and you want to start a truck team or whatever, you can't do it, or Xfinity team or whatever it might be. So it really sucks for them all in all. I'm getting critiqued right now that I'm moving the mic too much. I'm moving my hands. So do you want to show you how to do this? You just hold it still. Okay, you're gonna hold it for me. All right, she's holding the mic now.
Going back to the rookie meetings, because you've been doing it for almost a decade. What would you say is the biggest? Maybe the biggest thing that you've seen that most rookies coming into the truck series need to improve on over the years?
Listening. I mean, at the end of the day, listening. And The trucks are, I truly feel, some of the hardest to drive in traffic. They're the easiest to drive by yourself. they're the hardest to drive in traffic. I mean, Kyle Busch and I have talked about that. You can go out and run in a mile and a half, and it's not easy, but I mean, it's not that hard if you got a decent truck and it's handling all right and you know what you're doing. But you get these things side by side, and they are so dirty in the air, if you want to call it that. They move around so much, side force means so much, and then next thing you know, you get somebody that sits on your door and they're 2 foot off your door and you're under them, and they just get sucked around, and you can't explain that enough to them. It's very, very hard for them to understand it until it actually happens.
Is it just because maybe like the weekly series, short track series, they race a lot of cars? You know, I know Irwindale has some truck series that come from.
No, it has nothing to do with that. It's just learning the air, and just the trucks are on a mile and a half are a lot more aerodependent of having someone on your right side, just because they don't have much air that goes over the roof of them. It is, they lean on a lot of air on the right side of them that holds them straight in the corner. So when you get somebody that pins you on your door, they are really, really hard to drive. He's doing good. I mean, he's done very, very good. I remember watching him at, I think it was Berlin or, no, it wasn't Berlin. Oh, Kalamazoo. I remember Kalamazoo. I think he was 16, and I mean, he hit everything but the pace car. And he was 16, and these older guys wanted to kill him. They had to literally escort him out of the racetrack. And just watching that night, I'm like, whoo, this kid's, I mean, wild. He's fast, but he's wild. And he hits a little bit less stuff now.
Coming in here this weekend, you've been down this road before. Is it any different for you in any sense?
No. It's after you won the first one and you got rid of the nerves of the first one, it definitely makes it a lot easier going for your fourth one.
Do you feel any similarities to the years you've won championships in the truck series, like compared to this year?
No. I mean, because 2019 was the year that we ended up winning it with the chase format. But now, I mean, the two before that were the old point system, and 2019 was just a different deal, especially not winning a race and then winning it and breaking the system and then being able to break the system again tomorrow night would be another interesting way to watch all the keyboard warriors fire up their computers tomorrow night. If that was. Oh, I love it. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I laugh. I mean, I don't respond much to it because sometimes I get in trouble for when I do respond. So I just sit back and laugh, and it bothers me zero.
What's it going to take tomorrow night? I guess, first of all, the fact that you guys have practice qualifying, how does that set
turn
up?
Down here, babe.
How does that set up the night?
And, my leg's going to sleep.
How does that set up the night, but then also how does that transition into what the race is going
to
be like?
I mean, I'm glad that they did gave us qualifying tomorrow and some practice. It should be that way for the final four race. And I understand going up to all those and just trying to save money and all the COVID stuff going on and not having practice. But this one needed practice and qualifying.
That said, what are you looking for from your truck from the drop the green flag?
To handle perfect. what else would there be? Just a good balance on both ends, because this place is so different from one end to the other, and you're never going to have a truck that's going to be perfect at both ends.
What I should have asked too as part of that is, are you expecting more short run or long run speed? Which one do you feel like is going to be more necessary?
Short run.
Yeah.
Short run. I mean, track position is so key nowadays. If you can have a short run truck, and it's phenomenal for 15 laps, and it's so tough to pass. If you guys 2 tenths better than you, 15 laps into a run, they might run you down. But when they do get to you, aero comes into it and stealing air and being in the right place. So it's hard to pass.
I know it's a bit of a cliche question, but with a fourth championship on the line, what would a fourth mean for you historically in the series?
That I have four. And I haven't put a whole lot of thought into it, totally honest. It's the only time I've ever thought about it is whenever you guys ask about it.
You said in the past, like, your goal is to get to Hornaday, right?
Oh yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, it would to get to Hornaday to be able to get one more than Hornaday. That would be great to say you won 5, you won 6, you won 10, whatever. So at the end of the day, as long as you're out there and you're competitive and you're having the chance and being in the right position to be able to win races and fight for championships, that's all you can ask for.
So over the last, really a few years, we've seen the Truck Series be really, really aggressive, a little chaotic at times. How aggressive do you feel like it'll be tomorrow?
I don't think it's going to be too – I mean, it's going to be aggressive without a doubt, but I don't think it's going to be drive through the guy to wreck him to go win a championship. I don't think you're going to see that. I wouldn't expect that. Are you going to race hard and lean on each other and do whatever you can do to give your team the championship? Absolutely.
Thank you.
As a veteran of the sport, how much of an advantage do you think that gives you compared to these three other guys standing next to you going into this weekend at Phoenix?
I definitely feel it's not going to hurt me. It's going to help me. I know in 2013, whenever I had never won a championship in the Truck Series, it was a lot harder mentally. And then once you get the second one, the third one, it makes it a lot easier mentally.
Does that take all the pressure off this weekend, or do you still feel a little weight on your
shoulders? Oh, you're definitely going to feel weight on your shoulders. I mean, so I have that want. I have that desire. I mean, it burns inside of you to go win another one and win the race just as much as it did in September of 2000 when I ran my first truck race. Still have the same burning desire. So I love the sport.
You going to run some dirt races?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I went and ran last Friday in Charlotte, and then they pushed it back. So I got to run qualifying heat race, and they wouldn't get to run B's and everything like we were supposed to on Friday night. And so I didn't make it back for Saturday. So I just wasted a lot of money and time and effort to go out there and run 10 laps, 2 laps qualifying and 8-lap heat race. So I'm going to run Las Cruces in January, and then I'll run Speed Weeks and probably run Bristol again and pick and choose.
Awesome. Well, I'll see you at Vada.
Thank you. Yeah, that's an awesome place.
Isn't it?
Yeah,
Royal did such a good job.
Yeah, I'm running one of Royal's cars.
Are you? Okay, well, that's awesome.